Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. I do want to encourage you to check out our other podcast, and in particular, I want to mention the Old Time Radio Superman podcast at otrsuperman.com. From 2008 to 2018, I went through every circulating episode of Superman, the radio series, and then last year we returned with a few more episodes that I'd found more recently. There are so many great firsts. We get to hear Batman and Superman team-ups, we get to meet Jimmy Olsen, and of course, there's storylines with Superman fighting the Klan, Superman at sea, Superman in World War II, just some fantastic adventures. We have 1,039 episodes available for your listening pleasure, and you can go to otrsuperman.com to check it out. And you can find all of the podcasts we do over at greatdetectives.net. But now it is time for this week's episode of Mr. Chameleon. Original air date, July 28th, 1948. And the title is The Brownstone Murder Case.
Tonight, we again present the famous Mr. Chameleon of Central Headquarters in his most famous cases of crime and murder, brought to you by the makers of Bayer Aspirin. For those who do not know who Mr. Chameleon is, we give a quick sketch of his character. Born of a well-to-do family and a college man, he tried from childhood to live up to the name he bore, Chameleon, by taking on the color of whatever situation in which he found himself. Appearing in endless guises, finally entering the police force where he became known as Chameleon, the man of many faces, the underworld's most dreaded man. Throughout this series, the listener will invariably know who Mr. Chameleon is, no matter in which disguise he appears. But the criminal he's tracking seldom does. Tonight we give you Mr. Chameleon and the Brownstone Murder Case. In some circles, 11 o'clock at night is considered early. At the Carlisle Arms, it is very late indeed. For the paying guests at the Brownstone Front in the East 70s, which is now a genteel boarding house, retire around 10. After that, the musty halls are usually deserted. But now on the second floor, outside of one of these rooms, Madame Lorraine is talking to her friend, Mrs. Kramer. And Mrs. Kramer, a timid, rabbity little woman, is saying,
I wish you wouldn't go prowling around. Really, Madame Lorraine, you ought to stay away from that end of the hall.
Well, I don't intend to, Mrs. Kramer. I'm telling you I heard voices last night in the back part of the house that's supposed to be shut up.
It is shut up. It hasn't been used in years.
It was being used last night. Either that, or there was someone in Professor Haywood's room. And the professor is away. His room supposedly is locked. Anyway, I'm going to do a little private investigating.
But what for, Madame Lorraine?
Just to satisfy my curiosity. I've always been a curious woman, Mrs. Kramer. And now I'm a bored one. I'm sick of the old fogies who live in this place. Colonel Robbins, for instance. Speak of the devil. Did you ever hear anything like that radio of his?
Colonel Robbins can't help it if he's deaf. He doesn't play his radio for long.
Well, at least it'll stop anyone from hearing me go down the hall.
What about Miss Darling? You know how queer she is. She's warned everyone not to go snooping around her room. And her room's right next to the door that leads to the empty wing.
Miss Darling is a silly neurotic. A young neurotic. That's even worse than being an old one. She can't scare me. Live dangerously, that's my motto, even after 50. But go back into your room. I'll see you tomorrow.
I still wish you wouldn't.
My dear, indulging my curiosity is the only pleasure I have left in life. Good night.
Good night, Madame Lorraine.
poor little rabbit. But then all of us here in the Carlisle Arms are pathetic has-beens. Really, that radio. Ah, well, the Colonel has his radio. Professor Haywood has his bridge. I have my curiosity. And here we are. Here's the door that leads into the empty wing. Ah, that's strange. It isn't locked. Well, this is very interesting. Where does that stairway go to? There's a light on the stair. Who closed that door?
No! Oh no! Please!
And now, at Central Headquarters in the office of the Commissioner of Police, with him is the famous Mr. Chameleon, the man of many faces, the underworld's most feared man.
So there you are, Chameleon. There are the facts of the case. Madame Louise Lorraine was found strangled this morning in the second floor hallway of a boarding house, the Carlisle Arms. A piece of wire had been knotted around her throat. The body was lying in front of room number 3. A room that usually was occupied by Professor Haywood.
What's he professor of, Commissioner?
I wouldn't know.
Oh.
One of the boarders, I suppose. Anyway, Chameleon, it's a brutal business.
And in such refined surroundings, too. Amazing. The Carlisle Arms, a home away from home for gentlefolk. Well, Commissioner?
Get over there immediately, Chameleon, will you? And find out just how gentle those gentlefolk are.
Mr. Chameleon, it's so awful to think this should happen in the Carlisle Arms. I've worked so hard to build up a high-class clientele, and now I'm afraid I'm going to lose them all.
Madame Lorraine lost her life, Miss Carlisle. Oh,
I'm sorry. That was very selfish of me. She was such a person, too. So vital, so alive. She was a former opera singer, you know, and she still had plenty of temperament.
A little too much, perhaps?
Well, yes. She and Colonel Robbins, he's the gentleman in room number 2... they had a few arguments about his radio. He's hard of hearing. He turns it on a little loud occasionally.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes, yes. I see what you mean, Miss Carlisle. Who else lives on this floor?
Well, there's Mrs. Kramer and Miss Darling. Miss Darling is a bit eccentric.
In what way?
Well, she's young, Mr. Chameleon, but she wears the most dreadful old clothes. Uh-huh. And she never fixes her hair. She never uses makeup. Sometimes, well, she gets a bit hysterical. Oh, but she's really a fine young woman, and she comes from a fine family.
That's fine. Now, let me see. That would be her room over there, wouldn't it?
Yes.
What's the door next to it?
Oh, that's always kept locked. That opens into the wing of the house we never use.
Uh-huh. And this room here, this number 3, this belongs to Professor Haywood?
Yes.
Where is the professor?
Right now? Well, I have no idea, Mr. Chameleon. He's always going away for a couple of days at a time, but he's such a nice young man. I assure you he
comes from a fine family, yes.
Yes.
Well, maybe so, Miss Carlisle, but where was he last night when Madame Lorraine was murdered? Are you positive that he wasn't in his room?
Of course, I'm positive. He left on Monday.
Well, he could have sneaked back. Remember, the dead woman was found in front of his door.
Oh, Mr. Chameleon, surely you don't think the professor... Oh, here comes Colonel Robbins now. Ask him what everyone thinks of the professor. Oh, Colonel Robbins.
Did you call me, my dear?
Yes, Colonel. This is Mr. Chameleon, the famous detective from police headquarters.
Oh, yes. How do you do, Mr. Chameleon?
How do you do?
Nasty business, what? Fine figure of a woman. Who do you think killed her?
Well, offhand, Colonel, I couldn't say.
Who?
He doesn't know, Colonel, but he seems to suspect Professor Haywood.
The professor? Well, nonsense. Fine, upstanding chap. Excellent bridge player, too. Never overbids. You really think he did it, Mr. Chameleon?
Colonel, over my desk at Central Headquarters, there hangs a motto. The innocent must be protected. The guilty must be punished. If Professor Haywood is guilty...
But he wasn't even here last night.
Well, perhaps not. The coroner tells me that Madame Lorraine died between 11 and 11:30. But you heard nothing, Colonel Robbins.
You're mistaken, Mr. Chameleon. I didn't hear a thing.
That's what I said. You heard nothing in the hall.
Oh, no. As you may have noticed, Mr. Chameleon, I'm slightly hard of hearing.
Mr. Chameleon! Mr. Chameleon!
Oh, Detective Sergeant Arnold is calling you, Mr. Chameleon. Oh. He's downstairs.
What is it, Dave?
Come on down here, will you? I've got something to show you. Just drop everything and come on quick.
Mr. Chameleon, I want you to hear them. That is, if they're still going out at Hammer and Tongs.
Who is it, Dave?
Two of the roomers, Mrs. Kramer and that Miss Darling. They're in the music room. Music room. Did you ever see such an old mausoleum?
Don't you like the Carlisle Arms, Dave?
It gives me the creeps. Full of poor old dodos, most of them just waiting to die.
Well, one of them did die, Dave. It's possible that she died because she had more life and vitality than the others.
Wait a minute, Mr. Chameleon.
You have no right to talk to me.
Yep,
like that, Miss
they're
Darling.
Still at it.
I have, Mrs. Kramer, and you're going to listen.
Take a look at that, Miss Darling. A cute little trick, isn't she, Mr. Chameleon?
Maybe she's young, Dave.
Yeah, and what good is it doing her?
I know perfectly well you saw Madame Lorraine last night just before she was murdered.
No. I said goodnight to her, and then I left her.
And she told you what she was going to do. She told you where she was going.
No!
You're lying. Mrs. Kramer, you're going to tell me what Madame Lorraine said to you before she went to her death. You've got to tell me.
I won't!
All right. But let me tell you one thing. You keep away from my end of the hall. I warn Madame Lorraine, and I'm warning you. You keep your distance, or else.
Or else what, Miss Darling?
What?
Well, go on. What will you do to Mrs. Kramer if she doesn't keep away from your end of the hall?
Who are you?
This is Mr. Chameleon. I told you he was on the case.
Oh, of course, the great Chameleon. Mrs. Kramer, we're honored. This is the famous detective I'm sure you've read about.
How do you do, Mr. Chameleon?
How do you do?
But I don't know anything about it. All I know is there's something horrible going on in this house, and I'm afraid. I'm afraid.
Well, now, don't be afraid. But, Mrs. Kramer, if there is anything that you can tell us...
No. No, just let me go to my room. Though I'm afraid to even go through the halls alone.
Well, Detective Sergeant Arnold, go along with you. You go ahead, Dave.
Okay, Mr. Chameleon. I'll be seeing you before you go back to headquarters.
And remember what I told you, Mrs. Kramer.
Miss Darling, just why are you threatening that poor woman?
Because she knows more than she's telling, Mr. Chameleon, I'm sure of it.
Well, what has that got to do with her keeping away from your room?
Nothing, except that I like my privacy. I've got a phobia about privacy.
Tell me, aren't you pretty young to be living in a place like this?
Mr. Chameleon, I live exactly as I please.
Oh.
Maybe I like this atmosphere of creeping death. Anyway, it happens to be none of your business.
Everything that happens in this house is my business, including you, Miss Darling. Where is your family?
I have no family. They're all dead. Anything else you want to know, you can find out on your own.
I will.
Oh, I'm sure you will. After all, you're the amazing Mr. Chameleon, aren't you? The famous detective, always turning up in all sorts of disguises.
That's right.
Must be fascinating. Though you're so attractive, it seems a shame to cover it up.
Thank you so much, Miss Darling. But I'll tell you something about a disguise. You work from the inside out. You see, you feel differently, so you act differently. That's what does it.
How interesting. I read that you'd even posed as a woman. Everything from a prince to a street beggar.
Oh, you compliment me.
Well, let's see what you can do here, Mr. Chameleon. Let's see what you can get away with at the Carlisle Arms.
I'll do my best. What about this... Professor Haywood.
Professor Haywood, he's all right. Rather vague, but bearable. But why?
I wondered where he was at the time of the murder. And I wondered just when he was coming back. What's the matter, Dave? Glad to get out of the Carlisle Arms?
So help me, Mr. Chameleon. I can't stand that joint. Oh, Miss Carlisle's okay, but some of her guests... Boy, there's something awful funny going on there.
Well, there's been something funny going on there for quite a while, Dave.
What do you mean?
Madame Lorraine's death was only the beginning. I'm very much afraid there's more violence to come.
Well, Mr. Chameleon,
better get back in there immediately tonight, perhaps. No, this afternoon might be better.
Hey, wait a minute. Don't tell me that place is under surveillance.
Yes, yes, it is, Dave. We've kept it quiet, but we've been watching it for weeks. I have a very good idea what's going on there, but no evidence. Now it's up to me to bring in the evidence and fast.
Well, I still don't see... Say, Mr. Chameleon, what's that? That in your hand.
Well, this? Oh, that's a key from the Carlisle Arms. Room number 3.
Room number 3? But that's Professor Haywood's room.
Yes, yes, Dave. I'm Professor Haywood.
Mr. Chameleon and the case of the Brownstone murder continues in just a moment. There's no need for you to let an ordinary headache upset you and spoil your whole day. To get relief that's so fast you'll be amazed, take 2 Bayer aspirin tablets with a glass of water. Bayer aspirin works quickly because it starts to disintegrate within 2 seconds after you take it. Now, to see this astonishing speed for yourself, drop a Bayer aspirin tablet in a glass of water and watch what happens. Before it reaches the bottom of the glass, it begins to disintegrate. That's exactly what it does in your stomach, and that's why Bayer aspirin is ready to go to work almost instantly you take it. So when you want quick relief from headache, neuritic, or neuralgic pain, do as millions do who want fast relief, take genuine Bayer aspirin. Always ask for it by its full name, Bayer aspirin, never by the name aspirin alone. Get the 100-tablet bottle and you get Bayer aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. And now back to Mr. Chameleon and the Brownstone murder case. It is late afternoon, and in front of the Carlisle Arms, Detective Sergeant Arnold has accosted a man of indeterminate age, with rumpled clothes and thick glasses. And as he climbs the steps carrying a suitcase, Dave Arnold says to him,
"Hey, wait a minute. Where do you think you're going?"
"Why, to my room, of course. I happen to live here, Detective Sergeant Arnold."
"Huh? Chameleon!"
"I beg your pardon. The name's Professor Haywood."
"Gee, I'm sorry, but no kidding, you sure look different."
"Well, take it easy, Dave, and follow me upstairs."
"Professor Haywood, oh, I was afraid we'd never see you again."
"Oh, why not, Miss Carlisle?"
"Why not? Haven't you read the papers? Don't you know about Madame Lorraine?"
"All that, yes. That must have been ghastly. Poor woman, I liked her, though she was a bit overwhelming."
"Just how well did you know her, Professor?"
"Is that any affair of yours?"
"Please, Detective Sergeant, can't you leave my guests alone? For years I've worked to build up a nice clientele, and now the police are driving them away."
"Oh, I don't suppose the murder had anything to do with it, Miss Carlisle."
"Well, isn't that one of the worst aspects of murder, that the police come butting in?"
"Is that supposed to be a joke, Professor?"
"Yes, aren't you clever?"
"Quite a card, aren't you? Well, let me tell you, Professor, and you too, Miss Carlisle, a little later we're searching this place from top to bottom, including the unused wing."
"Detective Sergeant Arnold, I'm just as anxious as you are to find Madame Lorraine's murderer."
"Well, what are you laughing at, Professor?"
I beg your pardon? Oh, I was just thinking that is rather amusing. I mean what I just said, that the worst aspect of murder is the police butting in."
"Miss Carlisle, is he quite right in the head?"
"The professor? Of course he is. And it's your manner I object to. I don't mind your searching the house, but to think that all my nicest people may be driven away..."
"Who, for instance?"
"Well, Mrs. Kramer, for one. She's packing right now. She's leaving first thing in the morning."
"Oh, dear, that is too bad. She always made our fourth at bridge."
"Is that all you can think of?"
"Detective Sergeant Reynolds."
"Arnold."
"Arnold Reynolds, whatever it is. Do you mind very much if I take my suitcase to my room?"
"Not if you don't mind, if I go along with you."
"There isn't very much I can do about that, is there? But, Miss Carlisle, please don't worry. I shan't be leaving."
"Oh, thank you, Professor. I'm very glad to hear that."
"I'm just wondering, if Mrs. Kramer is leaving in the morning, do you suppose she'd still be willing to play bridge this evening? I've been looking forward to having a little game with her and Miss Darling and Colonel Robbins." "Okay, Dave, we can talk, but keep your voice down."
"So Mrs. Kramer is trying to clear out of here, is she, Mr. Chameleon?"
"Yes, Mrs. Kramer is terrified, Dave, and she has reason to be terrified."
"Well, what do you want me to do, keep her here?"
"No, no, let her think that she can get away. Let other people think that she can get away."
"Yeah, but look, Mr. Chameleon, does it occur to you she might have murdered Madame Lorraine? She could have."
"You're quite right, she could have. But let things rest as they are. Just search this place with a fine-tooth comb, especially that empty wing that's been untenanted for years. Oh, you know something? I wouldn't be at all surprised if I found out more than you will over the bridge table this evening in my role of the professor."
forbid, Professor.
I'm well aware of that fact, Miss Darling. I was just thinking.
I make it one, no trump.
I haven't bid yet, Colonel.
Oh, I thought you said a spade. Sorry, my dear boy. Sorry.
That's quite all right. I pass.
What did you say, Mrs. Kramer? Mrs. Kramer, please keep your mind on the game.
How can I, Miss Darling, with the police upstairs? Why are they taking so long to search the place? And why isn't that Mr. Chameleon supervising the search? He was so courteous, so attractive.
Did you say two hearts, Mrs. Kramer?
Mrs. Kramer said nothing, Colonel. Her hands are shaking so she can hardly hold her car.
I can't help it. All I want to do is to get away from here to... Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
What is it, Mrs. Kramer?
The Ace of Spades, Professor. Right here in my hand. The Ace of Spades means death.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Well, it does mean death.
It also means a redeal. Shuffle them, Professor.
No, wait. Colonel, that detective sergeant is right behind you.
Really? Is the search all over, Sergeant?
Yes, the search is over, Colonel.
Well, what did you find out?
Nothing, judging from his face.
Maybe more than you think, Miss Darling. Professor, may I see you alone?
Oh, yes, certainly, Detective Sergeant.
Professor Haywood, he's not taking you away, is he?
No, he just wants to see me alone. Will you excuse me, ladies?
Well, Dave?
We didn't find a thing, Mr. Chameleon. Not a blasted piece of evidence. We went through everything, every room, including that empty wing. Whoever the killer is, whatever is behind this, someone is awful smart.
But not quite smart enough.
Well, how did you make out? Did the cards tell you anything?
They told Mrs. Kramer that death was very close. And maybe they told me something, too. This is a case, Dave, where the culprit has to be caught red-handed.
But when, Mr. Chameleon?
Tonight.
Tonight?
Mm-hmm. Things are going to start happening tonight. And I'll know when there's going to be a signal, and I'm pretty sure I know what that signal will be.
Colonel Robbins! Colonel Robbins!
Did someone call?
Yes, Colonel.
Professor. Come in, my dear boy. Come in.
I saw your door was open.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Your door is open. I wondered, would you mind very much not playing your radio just for tonight?
You want to listen to the radio?
I want you to turn it off. I've a bad headache and can't get to sleep.
I sleep better too, Professor, if I listen to music late at night. What are you doing?
I've turned the radio off, Colonel.
But you can't do that. I'm listening to my favorite program. It'll be over within 15 minutes. Half an hour at the most.
Half an hour will be too long. Even 15 minutes.
Well, I'm sorry, Professor, but I intend to hear my program.
Turn that radio off, Colonel.
I will not. A man's home is his castle, Professor. I realize I may have it on a little too loud, but since I'm slightly hard of hearing...
Are you, Colonel?
Am I what?
Hard of hearing. Tonight at bridge, I said as softly as I could, that detective sergeant is behind you, and you heard me perfectly.
Why, yes, I did.
You're not deaf, Colonel Robbins, not at all. Please turn off that radio, or I'll turn it off for you. There, that's better.
Turn it on immediately.
Why, Colonel? What have you been covering up with all that noise? What do you expect to cover up now?
Are you out of your mind, Professor? Get away from that radio.
Oh, that's it. That's what you hope to drown out. All right, Colonel Robbins.
Professor, where did you get that gun?
Part of my academic equipment. Keep your hands up and keep moving ahead of me fast. Scream came from Mrs. Kramer's room.
Who are you? I'll turn you over to the police.
Think it may be the other way around. Here we are. Miss Kramer, you all right?
Yes, Professor. But Miss Darling here tried to kill me. I woke up and she was bending over me in the dark. Then Miss Carlyle rushed in and saved me.
Well, how could you tell if it was dark, Mrs. Kramer? Maybe it was Miss Darling who rushed in to save you.
That's ridiculous.
No, it's not. It's true, Professor. It was Miss Carlyle who intended to murder Mrs. Kramer.
She's lying, Professor. But I don't understand. What are you doing with that gun? Colonel, why is he pointing that gun at you?
The Professor is an imposter, my dear.
Yes, I am an imposter. We all are, in fact, including Miss Darling, whose real name is Evans. Madeline Evans, plainclothes policewoman. Who was sent here to keep an eye on this house.
What?
Yes, I looked you up in the files this morning. You're a very pretty girl under normal circumstances, Madeline.
Yes, but
you see, the powers that be thought it was best that we shouldn't know we were working together under the same roof.
What the devil?
Chameleon! You're Mr. Chameleon!
But that's not possible. Yes, he is Mr. Chameleon.
Why didn't you recognize him, Colonel?
Why didn't I recognize him?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because you'd known me for weeks as Professor Haywood. You were accustomed to Professor Haywood's mannerisms, his personality. You'd accepted him and catalogued him as being perfectly safe.
But we've done nothing. Why should you be watching this house?
Miss Carlyle, you and Robbins both have prison records.
What?
Go way back, of course. But later, you decided to operate a hiding place for criminals on the lam. You had a wonderful front, a highly respectable boarding house. Perfect hideaway for men wanted by the police.
Mr. Chameleon, do you mean that Madame Lorraine, that most of the guests here are criminals?
No, no, indeed, Mrs. Kramer. Only Colonel Robbins. But every once in a while, haven't there been odd-looking transients? Of course there have. They were hidden away in that empty wing.
And spirited out during the night, I suppose.
Exactly, Colonel Robbins, with your radio drowning out any sounds.
Then Madame Lorraine, that explains her murder, Mr. Chameleon. That's where she was going, to try the door of that empty wing. She'd heard voices, she told me.
Well, she tried the door. The chances are she even went through it, to her death. They were going to kill you, too, of course, Mrs. Kramer, because you knew where she was going.
And just how can you prove all this, Mr. Chameleon?
Miss Carlyle, there is the wire lying on the floor. You had to drop it before you had a chance to use it on Mrs. Kramer. But I'm sure that same sort of wire strangled Madame Lorraine.
No, that's not true. I had nothing to do with killing Madame Lorraine.
Well, then who did?
He did, Colonel Robbins.
You filthy liar! Chameleon, she's the one who planned the whole thing. All I did was to play my radio.
No, he killed her.
She slipped the wire around Madame Lorraine's throat. She used a pair of pliers to tighten the wire. They're in her pocket now.
Shut up, you fool.
Okay, Miss Evans, look for the pliers. And then we'll all of us take a ride down to Central Headquarters. And, of course, as you know, Mrs. Kramer, the pliers were in Miss Carlyle's pocket. Immediately afterwards, she, Robbins, confessed to everything. Anyway, my dear lady, it's all over now, and you can draw a free breath.
Oh, Mr. Chameleon, if it hadn't been for you, I'd be dead.
Oh, nonsense. We cops simply did our job. Didn't we, Miss Darling? Miss Evans.
We did. And, Mrs. Kramer, I hope you'll forgive me for threatening you. It was the only way I had of warning you to keep away from that door to the empty wing.
My dear, you saved my life. Well, goodbye now.
Goodbye.
Well, Mr. Chameleon, go ahead and say it. Tell me how bungling, how incompetent I was not to penetrate your disguise. That's what you're thinking.
I was thinking how very attractive you are, Miss Evans, and what an excellent operator. The only thing is, the next time when I ask to have you assigned to work with me, let's see to it that we play bridge as partners, not as opponents. You're much too good. And I'll tell you a secret. I hate to lose.
And with these words, Mr. Chameleon concludes tonight's murder case. The next time an ordinary headache threatens to spoil your day, get fast relief by taking genuine Bayer aspirin. You'll be amazed at how quickly Bayer aspirin works, and the reason is that it starts to disintegrate within 2 seconds after you take it. To see for yourself that this is true, just drop a Bayer aspirin tablet in a glass of water and watch what happens. Before it reaches the bottom of the glass, the tablet will begin to disintegrate. It does the same in your stomach, hence brings relief with astonishing speed. So the very next headache, neuritic, or neuralgic pain you have, use Bayer aspirin for really quick relief. And when you buy, ask for it by its full name, Bayer aspirin, not by the name aspirin alone. Get the 100-tablet bottle and you get Bayer aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. Listen next Wednesday night at the same time for Mr. Chameleon, the man of many faces, in the case of death and the dependent husband. The part of Mr. Chameleon was played by Carl Swenson, with dialogue by Marie Baumer from the original story by Frank and Anne Hummert. Music directed by Victor Arden. Your announcer is Howard Claney.
Listen, everybody. Thousands of laboratory tests on scores of individual teeth show that new Lion's toothpaste actually gets teeth brighter, 2.5 to 5.5 times brighter than any of the 5 leading brands. Brighter by far than any other toothpaste. And the reason is that it's not just another old toothpaste with an added ingredient, but is completely new and radically different in formula. A new kind of toothpaste that cleans without soap and polishes without chalk. So get more brightness in your smile. Go to any drug or toilet goods counter and ask for Lion's toothpaste.
Mr. Chameleon, the new mystery drama, will be heard in another performance next Wednesday night at this time. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. I really did wonder how Mr. Chameleon was going to get into the boarding house, particularly with someone on the lookout for him. And I thought they handled it in a way that you're like, oh, okay, this was a place they had been watching, and so Mr. Chameleon was there undercover already. And I don't, you know, I've only heard so many episodes of the program, but the idea of him working somewhere undercover long term, I think that is actually a clever approach. Less clever on the part of police is not telling their undercover operatives who else they have working there. And I did appreciate Mr. Chameleon's reaction, and, you know, some of these detectives can be a bit condescending and unappreciative, but Chameleon was really gracious, and although I guess with him you can never tell if it's sincere or not since he changes to the colors of the event, but at any rate, I enjoyed this one and I hope you liked it as well. Well, now it's time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Nancy, Patreon supporter since March of 2016. Currently supporting us at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. Again, thanks so much for the support, Nancy. And that will do it for today. Well, we will be back next Tuesday with another episode of Mr. Chameleon. But join us back here tomorrow for The Man Called X, where...
But then, a month ago, the terror began to strike. In the home of a government worker in Sofia... At a meeting of underground leaders in Budapest. A party of refugees attempts to cross the Albanian-Greek frontier.
Hear the reports, Ken. Romania, Czechoslovakia, Poland. The same things happening in practically every country behind the Iron Curtain.
How long has this been going on?
About a month now. And if it keeps up, well, something will have to be done about radio freedom.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Chief. Radio freedom is the biggest punch we can throw at the Kremlin, short of war.
Not anymore, Ken. Not since it stopped broadcasting the truth. Since it started to give advice that turns into a death trap for anyone falling for it.
Every one of these, the result of radio freedom broadcasts?
That's right.
Huh?
These people believed they were hearing the truth, took the advice that was given to them, and ran right into the waiting arms of the security police.
I just...
A few more weeks of this sort of thing, and we'll never get those people to believe what we say again. That's why we've got to yank that radio station off the air.
Well, we can't afford it, Chief. We've got to get the truth across now, before it's too late.
But what other answer is there, Ken?
Suppose I let you know.
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, do send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, Instagram.com/GreatDetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.